Joseph never knew exactly how many men worked in Baker's growing force, which he characterized charitably as a miscellaneous lot. Some operated only during the day, others only at night. Frequently, he would run into agents on the street he had never seen before. They would flash a silver badge Baker gave them to shoo away noisy police or military authorities. Baker had scores more snitches on his payroll, many of them prostitutes and barflies, whose exact number only he knew. His full-time agents included Sergeant Brandt, a pompous man with a waxed mustache, who rode around town as Baker's orderly, sporting a black cape with red lining. Theodore Woodall, an illiterate house painter and then a brutish Baltimore cop before Baker hired him. Gilbert Lowe, whom Baker soon fired after catching him playing cards in a gambling den. And former California vigilante Tom Bowles, a bland, bald, but seasoned detective who looked at men with one eye when he talked to them. When he finally started working, Joseph ventured out on operations, typically a midnight raid on a Washington whorehouse or a Georgetown home to roust a rebel sympathizer, with Baker's senior agent, John Odell, a short, corpulent man who had been a Cleveland police officer. Joseph soon preferred more honorable fieldwork with the Army over prowling the city's bars and brothels. Baker's operation grew eventually to some 30 full-time detectives, who did more counter-espionage and criminal investigations than actual intelligence collection. Simple crime was considered a national security threat as grave for the Union as espionage. The loyalty of Washington City police was doubtful, and an efficient military police system had yet to be developed. The capital became an inviting target for corrupt northern and southern war profiteers bilking the army. Secret Service organizations like Baker's and Pinkerton's often spent more time chasing smugglers, horse thieves, draft dodgers, crooked contractors, and counterfeiters than they did on cloak-and-dagger work. Baker bragged that he was building a national and even international Secret Service as fearsome as Vidocq's in France. But what he ended up with was a vigilante-style organization little different from San Francisco's, which terrorized southern and northern suspects. A plaque hung in his office proclaiming "Death to Traitors." And save for his New York bureau and the handful of agents he kept in Canada, he had only a scattering of operatives in other parts of the country.